Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You guys are having Studebaker on later, right? I'm the warm-up band here for Andy Studebaker.
That's right.
This is... I mean, it's such an honor to just get the stage ready for him.
Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, always there for a ribbing if need be, but Andy Studebaker will join us, the champion of the gone but not forgotten bracket here on the show. You, the listeners, voted him your favorite gone but not forgotten Kansas City athlete.
And the one thing, Andy, that Mitch talked about, we were talking about Derek Johnson, and he goes, oh, that's the Andy Studebaker game against the Pittsburgh Steelers where Derek Johnson is playing special teams, and you're starting, and you go out there against the Pittsburgh Steelers and have yourself a pretty good game, and Derek Johnson's going to go down as one of the best in Kansas City Chiefs history, and you beat him out, my man. Congratulations to you for beating out Derek Johnson and having yourself a game.
Yeah, I want to be careful. I don't want to be in any sentence where I end up beating out Derek Johnson and have people actually tell the truth about who was actually better here. So,
yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it was a lot of fun to do this gone but not forgotten bracket, and I'm glad you jumped on board and tweeted it out and got people to vote for you. You win this whole thing. I mean, describe the feeling, my man, of winning this honor.
I mean, I tweeted about it. It is literally the Super Bowl I never won. So if you guys are handing out rings, I'm a size 12 and a half, so that'd be great. Just send it to me. That'd be fantastic. So, it's actually
ring.
Pretty funny. In some way, as I was looking through the names, there's a few guys that I played with, and then you have some guys from the Royals, and it's funny. I ended up having to Google a bunch of people's names, which I guess – will end up being part of my future, as people will have to Google me to figure out who I ever was. So it's kind of funny because you're like, I wonder who these people actually are, and do a little Wikipedia reading, and it's kind of a fun little sports history tour.
It really was. I mean, there were some names that we had on there that we hadn't talked about in a very, very long time. And, guys that, you watch play on both sides of the parking lot in years ago, and guys you rooted for, and guys, oh, yeah, I remember that dude. But the Googling thing is pretty funny because Josh and I were at the World Series in 2014 inside the Royals clubhouse. And one former Royal, Willie Akins, I believe it was, right, if I'm not mistaken, went up to one of the players inside the locker room and said, hi, I'm Willie Akins. And the player looked at him like, I have no idea who you are. It was Brandon Finnegan at the time. And Willie Akins is like, just Google me then. And at that point in time, I'm like, norm now.
I was like, so sad. Like,
you don't know who somebody is. You just jump on Google, man. You find out who they are right away, right?
Yeah, no, and it's like funny. I've got a funny story. I don't know if you care about it, but I was with the Tennessee Titans for like a cup of coffee one year, and we were on our way to a preseason game, and I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and I knew he was an older guy, didn't know who he was, and we were on the bus for about 15 minutes, and I go, hey, so what did you do for the team? And it hit me as soon as I said it. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's Eddie George. And I just asked who he was. I had no clue who he was. And so I'm sitting next to this Hall of Famer for the Titans. Oh. And I asked him the question, so what do you do for the team? And he looks at me all funky like, I just do some media stuff. But And as soon as I asked it, I thought, oh, no, what have I done? I have insulted the greatest player in this franchise history.
Well, it kind of looked like he could have been a strength guy. I mean, the guy was always so big, too. You could have mistaken him for maybe a strength guy. I'm glad, Andy, though, you took it in the vein in which it was to be taken, where it had a lighthearted nature to it. And I hope that it doesn't sound like it. I hope we didn't offend you by having you in this tournament.
No, it's fun. I enjoyed the reading. Honestly, we're all sitting at home a little bit here, and you know, most of the votes, I don't know if they were your listeners or my parents, but it was fun for me because, like you said, you kind of Google through some sports history here, and I learned some stuff about the team you played for that you never knew, and even the Royals. I'm not a huge baseball guy, but you know, you start learning some things about people, and these guys, in some way, made an impact on the lives of a ton of people in the city, and it's fun to be a part of something like that, even though it is lighthearted.
Yeah, no doubt. Andy Studebaker with us here, champion of the inaugural FESCO in the Morning Gone But Not Forgotten bracket that we did here on the show, and obviously you're working with the NFLPA and whatnot, man. Like, what's going on with you guys? What's the message? What's being said? Give us kind of the, you know, the 10-cent tour of what's going on with the NFLPA right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really busy last month. You know, we have a new collective bargaining agreement in place. That was a long process. Took a couple of years to go through that, and you know, it's slow and all that. And as soon as we get this thing signed, and you know, it was tense and it was disputed heavily. And then all of a sudden, we're in this world where you go, hey, by the way, there's we don't know what the future looks like. And so that's where we are. You know, it's like we're all kind of, it's kind of a hurry up and wait and see. So we're all kind of sitting around going, you know, what does it look like to prepare for an NFL season with the potential that there's no off season? It's unlike 2011 when we missed the off season because now there's not even gyms open. And so we're working with players on how can we get you the resources you need? What can we do for you? And you know, the teams are, we're all trying to figure out what this looks like. And it really is touch and go. It's one day at a time. And, you know, and it could be all over here in the next month, right? So it might not affect us that greatly. And it might affect us, you know, in ways we can't even think about right now.
What is the biggest question? Is it how to work out, how to stay in shape, how to keep kind of fine tuning your game while there's this interim, hopefully?
Yeah. Well, I think it's both. It depends who you are. If you've been around the league and you have a nice big house and a big yard and maybe you have a garage gym and some resources to buy yourself lifting equipment, I mean, that seems like you could probably be fine. In fact, most guys in that situation might be happy, right? And then you have guys that just signed on the practice squad for the last 3 weeks of the season and they have an apartment somewhere and a one-bedroom apartment, and you know it's not glamorous living like people think. And so those guys are sitting here going, "Man, I can't even leave my house, and I'm supposed to train to be in the NFL." I mean, I think it depends on who you are and how established you are. I think everybody has a different experience. You know, we always tell guys, no one NFL experience is the same. And as you walk through this sort of crisis, We don't know how it's going to affect you because everybody is so different. Their lot in life is different. And, you know, down to how many dumbbells they own. You know, if you own a couple 50s, you can probably do okay for a while. And some guys, you know, they're sharing a one-bedroom apartment somewhere, two-bedroom apartment, you know.
Talking with Andy Studebaker here on 610 Sports Radio, does work with the NFLPA as well. So what are you hearing, man? Like when you guys get on conference calls and whatnot, what's being said about the future of the NFL right now?
Yeah, and some of those calls I'm not a part of, right? So, yeah. You know, like I said, there's a big question as to, hey, how can we, what does it look like to potentially engage in some sort of off-season activity? You know, do we do Zoom calls? Do we get iPads sent to us? We really are going through that and trying to figure out what can work and what is reasonable, right? So because we have 2,100 guys or so that are all in different situations, we don't want to create a situation where only 10% of the guys can really effectively pursue their craft and you leave 90% of the guys out. At the same time, you don't want to make it so ridiculous and pointless that it's wasting everyone's time. And so I think we're at the very beginning stages of it. Thankfully for us, our season is still, you know, what, not till September. So off season technically would have started, you know, next week most for most teams. So we still have some time to figure out the best path forward. It's probably going to be delayed. And really, I mean, there is nothing in stone, at least from, to my knowledge. And we're working with the players, getting their feedback. What would you guys like to see? What's reasonable? What can you do if there were some guidelines in place? And how can we best serve you to get you ready, both physically and mentally? And we're just very limited right now because even we have 2,100 guys across 50 states, and every state has different guidelines. Some guys can go out to the park and run, and some guys can't leave their home without getting arrested, right? So it's like, how can you create a system that benefits everybody and doesn't leave people out in the cold?
Do you think if it came back to the fact that they could play but without fans, do you think players would be in agreement with that if they had to be sequestered and things like that to play? Do you think guys would be on board with that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we haven't had to deal with that yet. I'm sure it's been in discussions and stuff. I just don't know. But, you know, we aren't looking at missing games right now, I don't think, and because we're far enough away, unlike some other professional sports where they had to shut it down mid-season and ask those questions on day one. We're kind of in the infancy of it. And so we haven't really gotten through that. We're trying to figure out that off-season component and what does it look like to be able to get ready. You know, whether you play in front of fans or not is sort of secondary, I would think, for most guys, because they're sitting here going, don't talk to me about games in October when I have and I can't even work out in April, right? So not something that I think is right in front of our face, but I'm sure we'll get there.
Andy, thanks for checking in. It wasn't just because, you know, you won the title. We probably would have wanted to check in with you anyway with your work with the league. But thanks for keeping us up to date. Congratulations on the title.
The honor of a lifetime. Thanks, guys.
Andy Studebaker joining us here on Fesco in the Morning, champ of the Gone But Not Forgotten bracket.
That's good.
Andy's also the perfect person to be working with the NFLPA because he can relate more to the, whatever he said, you know, the
guy in the one-bedroom apartment that has no gym. Yeah.
I mean, not that he didn't have success or whatever, but he had to work
his ass off. Yeah.
He had to work and to stick and to do all those things. And he's a guy that's not going to forget about that majority of players in the league.
Right.
That are battling the everyday stuff, right? The stuff that doesn't apply to
the quarterbacks.
The quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I was going to single out Aaron Rodgers. That wasn't fair. I was like, the quarterbacks of the world. But he's kind of the everyman's player.
Yeah.
And is a perfect person to be in the job he's in now.
No doubt. Right? No doubt. Because he can relate to everybody. Every single person is relatable to Andy Studebaker.
Size 12 and a half ring, too. That's a,
yeah, yeah.
It's a sausage figure.
I guess he had that ready just in case, you know. Yeah,
do we have to get him a ring now?
Well, I think you're going to have to get on that, Ryan. You got time.
Huh. All right.
We'll have Extreme Grand Prix make the ring instead of a trophy.
If only one of us did work with a jewelry company.
Josh,
yeah,
there you
okay,
go.
Okay, we'll work on that. He's not for the fake stuff. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Marcellus Wiley of FS1, not unlike me, probably a little bit not unlike you, Bob. He's not all that much for the half-hearted sports right now. Like, give me like real games or kind of give me classic games.
Yeah,
I don't really need iRacing's kind of fun, but
that I'll give you that one. That's legit.
iRacing's kind of fun, but I wasn't really interested in the football players playing Madden or
right.
The basketball players playing 2K. I've never been much for watching people play video games, so those weren't for me. As fun as, you know, that one marble racing race
was. You checked out fast.
That was enough.
Have we seen another one
since? I
haven't
seen an updated one.
There's plenty of marble racing going on YouTube. That
feels like that was the greatest race ever.
The way that marble made the comeback. I mean, the way that that marble was leading and then fell behind and then made the comeback, that's what made that marble.
And almost defied the laws of physics. I didn't even understand how it was possible.
Probably the goat of marbles, and I'm good with that. I don't need to see
it. I don't need to see another one. I watched a little virtual camel racing, you know, when this whole
a little,
started.
So you watched?
Two races,
okay,
maybe?
Yeah, very little. So Marcellus Wiley was opining yesterday at FS1. He doesn't want to watch horse. If they would have, NBA players playing horse at remote locations away from each other and doing back and forths in each other's driveways or what have you, and said he spent 11 minutes that he wanted back on the NBA 2K. So he's not much for the attempts at a limited return to sports. He wants the full thing or nothing.
The old saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Now, most people understand what that means. That means when we have distance, I'm going to appreciate you even more. But you got to remember the fine details of that distance. It's when you know the other person or thing is coming back. That's when your heart grows fonder. Hey, baby, I've got to go on a trip to New York for a week. Okay, in that week, she's going to miss you. You're going to miss her. But this is not that. This is the NBA, because of the virus and the pandemic, just disappearing and not knowing when it's going to come back. So sometimes it's okay to just stay away from the sport. Don't even try to give us a sliver of it. Don't try to give us a piece of it. Just disappear from the sport and come back when you're at full throttle.
That, you know what? There's an old saying, if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And I think that's what Marcellus Wiley is saying there. And I can't say I disagree with him on that. I can't get as excited for a horse tournament or a NBA 2K or a MLB The Show or something like that that isn't real sports. I can't say that I can get excited about that like I can for a real baseball game or a real football game or a real basketball game or something that is real and tangible. And distance does make the heart grow fonder. And Ryan, you brought it up yesterday in an email that we were kind of exchanging back and forth. Will people change their habits and never come back to sports? And you're wondering out loud how much this COVID is going to affect people when sports does come back. Will you have found something else to do, or will you go back to sports? I mean, and I tend to lean towards the side that people will go back to sports because sports was taken from them. It wasn't something that they gave up.
Or the sport did
like a strike or a lockout or something to turn you away. It was taken away from us, and when we're able to get it back, I think people are going to go back in record numbers to sports.
I mean, I can definitely understand how it's going to serve as that, like, oh man, we're finally getting back to normal. Like, here is something that I remember from the good old days prior to COVID-19. But like, I do think that in all things in our lives, we're starting to kind of take a little bit of stock in things. I think that some folks are spending, obviously everyone's spending more time inside and with their families. I'm just curious when this is all over, if that does change some of the habits that people do. I'm wondering if people go out to eat less because they've become so used to the idea of just cooking at home, or even if they start just doing carry out more. They're like, hey, you know what? That carry out thing wasn't that bad. I can just take this to go. Like, I'm fine with that. I don't need to sit down in the restaurant. Maybe we don't go to movies as often. Maybe we rent them and we stream them more often. Like, it's not a new concept, but I think, like, right, you know, some stuff that was supposed to go out in theaters has been pushed forward because of, you know, the home consumption market. Like, right now, I think people are starting to realize that is a good option for them. I think you're spending more time with family, you're spending more time cooking, and you're spending more time doing the things that maybe we took for granted prior to this. And maybe one of those things is sports. Like, maybe we put an overemphasis on the escape of sports. And hey, man, I got to sit down every night to watch this baseball game, or I got to sit down every night to watch an NBA game, or I'm watching the NFL Monday, Thursdays, and Sundays. Like, maybe we alter our viewing patterns. Now, I don't think that'll be the case, but I do wonder, as some people maybe change some of the other things in their lives, if sports is going to change right along with it.
What's the number one thing you're going to change, you know, when we get back to normal? Let's go back to, you know, January, when everything was normal. Okay, let's just use that as an example. What were you doing then that you don't see yourself doing once this, you know, this lets up? Because I see myself, once this ends and we all get back to normal, I see myself going back to the way we were living in January. I feel like once the quarantines are lifted and we can go out and it's safe again, I think we're going to have people flooding and going out again because, number one, probably going to be around summertime. People are going to want to get out and do their thing. I don't think that, like, I'm going to change much of anything. Like, you know, maybe I'll be more cautious with my groceries and maybe wipe them down more or something like that, like we're doing now. But that's now become a hassle as well, wiping everything down. So I don't know that I'm going to change much of anything right now because I was always kind of a germaphobe before. You know, I carry hand sanitizer in my work bag. I got two bottles in there. I got two bottles in the car. Like, I've always been the guy who washes his hands after getting gas with hand sanitizer or whatever because I. At the gas pump? Yeah, one of the dirtiest things.
Is it because of the gas smell?
No, because everybody and their brother touch it. They scratch themselves.
Good,
because
I put the gas behind my ear. I love the smell of gasoline.
I love the smell of gasoline. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with everybody touching that gas pump and how filthy those gas pumps are. So I've always been a hand sanitizer guy after that. I don't see myself doing much different once we get back to normal.
From a sports consumption percentage, I don't think so. I think we will appreciate it when it's back.
Yeah, you'll appreciate it.
I credit these leagues with trying to do something a little bit different to pass the time and to give you something if you want it. I don't know that they're as mass appeal as having a football game. I think the iRacing has been nice, but it also is nice for the drivers because it occupies them. I think the NFL 2K stuff is nice because it occupies the players.
Yeah.
I think the same for the NBA, like, occupies their time more so than providing you, like, a viable television product.
Well, somebody just asked me on Twitter. They talked about the baseball plan, and they said, do you consider baseball an essential business? And I thought about it for a minute, and I'm like, yeah, I do for the mental health of a lot of people that are involved. The mental health of being able to escape reality. The mental health for all the people in Major League Baseball that get to do their jobs. The mental health for the athletes that are sitting at home going stir crazy right now. So do I think sports is an essential business? Yeah, I think it's going to become an essential business because I think for the mental health of this country, we need to start getting back to normal sooner rather than later. Otherwise, you're going to see a lot of mental health issues develop because people are trapped inside with nothing to do. And I think sports gives you that sort of outlet that you can stay mentally healthy by knowing you have that at the end of the day, at least to bring some normalcy, even if we still are quarantined.
There's certainly, that's certainly one of the options of it. I think the other option is that people just find new things to do. You know, I think that some of the ancillary things outside of sports as well, the fantasy sports aspect, the gambling aspects of things like, gambling, I know that's a pretty hard addiction to kick, and you're probably going to go bet on the weather or some other random thing that you can find online to gamble on.
But that's been taken from you right now. Like, so if you're a gambling addict right now, I mean, unless you're like playing online roulette, you know, it's kind of been taken away.
Like you likely have found some sort of methadone to cure your gambling addiction by betting on, like I said, the weather or things like that. So there's certainly aspects for that. But people that played fantasy sports, like, I know fantasy baseball owns your damn life, right? Like, it takes so much to play. There are people right now who they would be, you know, elbow deep in two different fantasy baseball teams right now. That would occupy a lot of their time. And now they're sitting around twiddling their thumbs going, boy, what do I have to do? What am I going to do now to fill some of this void that was there? So maybe you do start adopting, you know, new hobbies, new pastimes. You start putting puzzles together and you start doing these things. And when sports comes back, you go, nah, man, I'm good on that fantasy baseball because I've got jigsaw puzzles now.
Right. You may see
fantasy
sports.
Sounds weird
like,
even saying it out loud.
But the days of people having like six fantasy football teams, that may be over. One's enough. I don't need to fill that
void.
I'm
into doing
with
yarn puzzles now. That's my
thing. Like yesterday, I'm out there fixing the kids' bikes. The chains broke on the bike. I'm out there like, I haven't done that since I was a kid, you know, like fixing the bike chains.
Now
and
you're
stuff
contemplating
like that.
Starting a bike repair service.
That's right.
Kids in the neighborhood.
For all the kids in the neighborhood, popping chains. I'll fix your chain. Come over here. We'll get it taken care of. We have a batting net set up in our
backyard.
Sounds
like you get on Watchdog with that.
Yeah, maybe so. But we have...
here, kids.
And now
your bike.
I can't pass out Halloween candy.
Yeah, and we're done. But we've got like a batting net set up now in the backyard. The kids out there, they do BP every day now. You know, you sit outside more. You appreciate some of that other stuff. But I still think sports is going to be a huge part of our nation healing, because we've seen it heal the nation before. But I think for mental health, and especially, I'll say for my mental health, I'm going to need baseball back sooner rather than later to give me that mental break every night, to give me that escape from reality.
Speaking of baseball, they have a plan. It's part of our big story coming up. And your homework assignment next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. SantaFeAutoSound.com. Put your wish list together. They'll take care of your boat and your motorcycle when we can get back to it. But they're answering your emails as well, so go ahead and check them out, SantaFeAutoSound.com, with your questions.
You think they could have helped out Joe Exotic and put some speakers on a tiger?
Maybe.
Is that new episode out yet?
I don't know. I'm not going to watch it.
Yes, you are.
Oh, you have to.
Yes, I've had enough.
No, I know we've all had enough, but they give you one more episode. We're all watching that.
No, yeah, it's not.
Watch that.
Look, man, I've gone to Golden Corral before. I know when to say enough's enough. Like, I could always go get more, but I'm like, no, it's fine. Three trips to the chocolate waterfall were enough. This is that extra trip to the chocolate waterfall that I do not need.
What is the most random thing you've dunked in the chocolate waterfall at Golden Corral?
Oh,
like an egg roll?
That's a good question.
Think about it. 69306. It's the most random thing you've dunked in the chocolate fountain.
Like
at
somebody's
Golden Corral.
Probably put the like corn on the cob and into the.
That's a good one.
I really don't want the answer, probably, from some of our people.
On like ribeye night, I just dunked the whole prime rib right into the fountain.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
We'll get your homework assignment coming up in just a few minutes. We all have our homework for today involving the Chiefs. Time for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Big story brought to you by Novel Place Senior Living in Overland Park and Blue Springs, a novel choice in senior living. Baseball has a plan. Well, UFC has a plan first and foremost, but we haven't really got into that today as much. Dana White is renting an island for the next UFC match.
He doesn't know. Well, he knows where, but he's not telling you where.
Yeah. April 18th, somewhere on Earth, according to his tweet, they're going to have UFC on an island, and he's got planes, and he's got an island, and he's just going to take the fighters there and not tell them where it's at.
It's going to be great.
Major League Baseball also has a plan where they are actually telling you where they intend to go. But according to ESPN, baseball and its players and federal public health officials are all working on a plan to safely operate amidst the pandemic and possibly begin as soon as May, getting together in Arizona and have all the teams play in Arizona now. Ballparks for spring training facilities, as well as the Diamondbacks facility and more if they need to. Kind of had essential personnel sequestered in local hotels and basically have them go to and from the ballpark and be able to get back to playing on some basis. Apparently, according to ESPN, officials at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the National Institute of Health, have been supportive of their plan that would adhere to strict isolation, social distancing, and would allow Major League Baseball to become the first sport professionally to return.
And I think that's the key. Read that last line again. The CDC and
the National Institute of Health have been supportive of a plan that would adhere to strict isolation. Like, you can do this if you do this, this, and this.
Right.
We wouldn't be opposed to it. And it sounds like that they're kind of putting the ducks in a row to possibly be able to do that as early as May. Some are saying a June date might be a little more feasible.
Maybe so.
Because we are talking like 3 weeks away from May now. But
right, exactly. And you know, who knows when in May? Does it come back Memorial Day weekend? Does it come back before Memorial Day weekend? I was talking to a Major League Baseball official yesterday. And we had
you
a
don't
long...
want to cut off the three-day weekend.
No, you don't. Right. No, they want that three-day. We'll get back on Tuesday. We're going
yeah.
to the lake.
Yeah, it sounds good.
But I think you know, the official that I talked to yesterday, I said, you know, would you be willing to play with no fans? Absolutely was the answer. I said, would players be willing to play with no fans? Absolutely was the answer. They said, look, we'd even be willing to play in places like Montana. We'd be willing to play in places like Wyoming. We'd be willing to play basically anywhere where we can find
short
a field.
Season Boise.
Yeah, places like that where we have lesser, you know, COVID cases than, you know, like a New York City, which odds of baseball being played in New York City this year may be slim to none. But places like, you know, Kansas City where it's less, places like Arizona, you know, where you got all the ballparks together, a place like Wyoming or Montana, places where the cases are a lot smaller, maybe obviously more feasible than where the cases are right now. But, you know, Major League Baseball guys, the National Football League, the NCAA, the more I'm finding out about these organizations going through this process, the more I'm realizing they're just like us. They're all paycheck to paycheck livers like the rest of us. Their paychecks may be bigger, and we probably say, well, you should save more of your money. But when you got guys, you know, like Tommy Pham out there spending $300,000 on a car, I mean, you know, the baseball players, athletes, those organizations, they just live different lifestyles than we live right now. And the end of April, there's going to be a lot of people that are cut off from Major League Baseball and other sports that aren't going to have any income coming in, and they're going to have to find a way to keep people employed and keep people getting paid. I'm not just talking about the players. I'm talking about the people in the front office, the scouts, the trainers, the, you know, the nutritionists, the entire business. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all the people, like, you know, I don't know how many people, the Royals or the Cardinals or the Yankees or teams like that, a couple hundred people a piece in each organization.
That's probably low, right?
Right. Yeah. And there's no money coming in for anything right now. How are you going to pay those folks? And so Major League Baseball wants to get back so they can take care of their people and pay their people their wage so they don't have to start cutting salaries and jobs and whatnot. So there's a lot on the line to get baseball back. And I also think it heals the mental health of a lot of people around this country. And that was another conversation I had yesterday. The mental health of everybody in this nation right now is being tested. And sports coming back sooner rather than later can help extremely with the mental health of a lot of people in America.
So
right now,
baseball, according to ESPN, has a plan, maybe the beginning of May, and starting with games in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the NBA, their commissioner Adam Silver had a discussion on Twitter last night. Says he doesn't expect any decisions to be made about the resumption of the season until at least May for the NBA. He says it's too soon to predict where the pandemic is heading. The NBA regular season was slated to end April 15th. And the playoffs starting on the 18th. Mm-hmm. So exactly which direction they would head when they resume remains to be seen. Silver says, however it happens, the fan experience will change.
I'm sure we're going to have fans at games, but maybe access will change. Maybe they will decide it's too risky to do certain things in buildings, or maybe food will be served differently. I mean, that's some of the things we're thinking about now, where, again, completely independent of this virus, how will this change the way Americans live their lives? I mean, maybe not at all. We'll just get through this. But, you know, you've heard some commentators say this may be a bit of a dress rehearsal for some viruses, pandemics that could be even more dangerous. That's something, I mean, for example, people are paying a lot of attention now to what Bill Gates has been saying for several years. And so all things that we have to seriously consider that may change our lives. And I'd say to your point, doesn't mean that life and entertainment will be any less rich. It just means there may be certain modifications we're going to need to make.
And that's where all the leagues are kind of working through right now, and the NBA among those. And the NBA has said that they were kind of hoping to be the first one back.
Yeah, they wanted to be the first one back since they were the first one to cancel. Well, I mean, we can't live in that world. That's a selfish world in which to live.
I think whoever's the most ready with the best plan to safely do it for their
people.
Yeah,
that's the one that's going to be back in.
Whether it's baseball, whether it's football, hockey floated a plan of finishing their season in North Dakota. Did you see that one yesterday? They talked about playing the rest of the season in North Dakota. So, like, no plan is a bad plan right now. Obviously, every plan is good. It's ideas to get out there and ideas to talk about. I have a fundamental problem with a plan like that being rolled out by Major League Baseball and it immediately being shot down by baseball writers everywhere, including Peter Gammons, who think it's a bad idea and it's nothing that we can do. Why is that? What's your solution to the plan? At least Major League Baseball is working towards a solution to getting sports back and to getting games back. And I know the NBA is working towards a solution to getting life back to normal for their sports league as much as they possibly can. People who criticize a plan and don't have their own plan or own ideas or own, you know, way to do things, those folks bother me more than anything. And so, Peter Gammons, if you're going to roll around out there and complain about this plan for Major League Baseball and say it's a road, but it's a road full of a lot of potholes, number one, you're not a doctor. I don't care what you say. And number two, what's your plan to get sports back, to get baseball back, to get us back on the right track? Because if you don't have one, dummy up and sit in the corner.
I haven't been to spring training in a while. Maybe there are a lot of potholes on those roads.
Not in Arizona. They don't have winter down there, man.
Bell Road to the ballpark. I don't know.
A lot less traffic right now, I bet.
Probably a little less trafficky right now. Yeah. Yeah. That major thoroughfare through Phoenix, maybe a little bit better than it normally is.
Yeah, probably a lot less traffic right now.
So baseball, NBA, all discussing the potential plans. We talked with Andy Studebaker a little bit earlier, former chief, now with the NFLPA, and he said from his perspective, works with, you know, the players, that they're more focused on the offseason, probably haven't gotten to what the season would look like at this point in time. But every league's certainly going through all of their discussions as to what may be ahead. And then UFC going to fight April 18th. We'll see if that one goes down here coming up in 11 days at an unnamed island. To be determined.
And we don't even know if it's in the Caribbean or if it's Aleutian State, you know, up in Alaska.
I float out the idea it's the Fire Festival Island.
Could be Iceland, could be Greenland. I mean, those are islands.
Grand Exuma, I think it was called, that Fire Festival Island. Yeah. I think that's my choice as to where it's going. I don't know if that's going to end up there.
I don't know where it is.
We have our homework assignment for today. It is the rewatch, as we're rewatching a Chiefs game each and every week, and we have you, the listeners, vote in our poll. And the poll has selected the Eric Berry Pick 2 game, Week 13 of 2016, for our rewatch today.
Bryant throwing, intercepted in the middle of the field by Eric Berry. Berry to the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown Kansas City.
There you go. That will be the 2016 Week 13 matchup. The Eric Berry Pick 2 game, and the best way to access it is go to NFL Game Pass. It's a free sign-up at NFL.com, the NFL Game Pass. Just Google NFL Game Pass. It pops right up. You can sign up for it, and you can watch any game dating back to 2009 for free through May 31st. But we'll watch Week 13 of 2016, Chiefs and Falcons, as our game of the week, and we'll discuss a little bit more tomorrow.
Yeah, and always look for some of those, you know, underlying themes. You know, we're not breaking this game down like it's the first time we're watching it. You know, you're looking for themes. In the last couple of weeks, we found some really good themes. I think last week when we watched that Raiders game back in 2013, we realized what a beast Eric Berry really was playing football. And number two, we realized what a beast Andy Reid is coaching football, because you look at the weapons and wide receivers that they had at that point in time, and you're trying to win games with an aging Dwayne Bowe, a junior Hemingway, and Chad Hall, and Donnie Avery as your wide receivers. And you realize, man, that team won 11 games that year. How good Andy Reid truly is as a head football coach. I think we now take it for granted. And you know, you guys kind of, you know, mocked me during the break a little bit. We're watching some highlights of Joe Burrow throw the football, and I'm like, wow, he didn't lead his receiver. That receiver had to come back to the ball, and both of you are like, Mahomes has spoiled you. I'm like, I guess he has, but, I mean, if you're going to show Joe Burrow highlights, I got to see him leading the receiver down the field like the highlights I saw from Tua.
See, this is a breakdown portion of those draft picks, right?
But I'm watching game stuff. It's not like I'm watching them in the Hoosier Dome, but
you're looking for all the faults of these quarterbacks
now. Just shaking your head. I don't understand why it's so hard for these GMs to find a QB.
It really is. Like, Joe Burrow, because of that throw right there, off the board.
Spoiled spot. Hey, speaking of Eric Berry, he's one of six players who played for the Chiefs that landed on the NFL and Pro Football Hall of Fame All-Decade Team released yesterday for the 2010s. Three of the players have had their entire career with the Chiefs, including Eric Berry,
right.
Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. and Travis Kelce.
Fake it. Smith steps up, throws. Deep ball. Got a man. It's Kelce. Touchdown on a rainbow delivery from Smith. This looks like the Kansas City offense from the first 5 weeks.
Was there a, what are you doing there in the background? I didn't catch. Kelce on the list. The three others, maybe shorter Chiefs careers, one that's in progress, and Tyrann Mathieu was on the All-Decade team, along with LeSean McCoy and Darrelle Revis.
And who could forget Darrelle Revis? All of us, actually, is the answer to that question.
Quite a few of us probably forgot about Darrelle Revis being a Chief, but they had six players that were tied into that. We talked with Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, earlier in the show. You can check it out on demand section of 610sports.com. He made the case for Derek Johnson and Dustin Colquitt, and Bob, you're making the case as well for the coach.
Well, I think Andy Reid needs to be on this list. I mean, if you're going to talk about, you know, top players and top coaches of the last decade, I think, in my opinion, Andy Reid needs to be on this list as opposed to Pete Carroll. And Andy Reid, I think, being left off the list is a total snub. First of all, he coached two teams in the National Football League over this past decade. Secondly, he was 30 games above 500 and won a Super Bowl. He took a team that was 2-14 and made them 11-5 in a postseason team the following season, started that year 9-0. He drafted Patrick Mahomes and, in my opinion, had a better decade than Pete Carroll. They've won four straight AFC West titles, been to two consecutive AFC title games, and won a Super Bowl. Pete Carroll cost his team a second Super Bowl by being too egotistical, if you will, and allowing Russell Wilson to throw the football at the one instead of just giving it to Marshawn Lynch, because he didn't want Marshawn Lynch to win the MVP, so he decided to throw the ball, and of course it got intercepted, and they ended up losing that Super Bowl. And so you could say, as good as Pete Carroll has been, man, he cost his team an opportunity to do something special, and that's repeat as Super Bowl champions, because he let his ego get in the way of doing what was best for the team. You don't see Andy Reid doing stuff like that. Plus, I think Andy Reid, you know, he did it with Alex Smith. He did it with Chad Hall. I mean, this guy was winning games with people that aren't Russell Wilson and the Legion of Zoom defense that they had up there in Seattle, whatever it is, up there in Seattle for all of those years with all of those great players. I think Andy Reid created great football players. I don't know that Pete Carroll did that, but I think Andy Reid is a much better coach. And now that he's won the Super Bowl, it's okay to put him in the greats of all time category. And if you're doing your top coaches since the merger in the NFL, since 1970, Belichick, Reid, Walsh, and Chuck Knoll are the four that are mine when it comes to being the best in the NFL since this merger. Andy Reid's in that category. To me, Andy Reid needs to be on this list of the best decade as a football coach.
I don't mind him for the all-time list being on there. The decade, though, I just can't move Pete Carroll off there. I mean, back-to-back Super Bowls, did win one and won more games than Andy Reid over that span too. So I really can't discount anything that you do have to. You would have to take one off to put one on. I can't discount enough of Pete Carroll for one play on one night. He was in that game though. I mean, they were in back-to-back Super Bowls and more wins. I can't necessarily take him off that list to put Andy Reid.
And
on.
As
he's also there at the helm when they got their quarterback. So I mean, he's got that. That's kind of the those kind of check themselves out too. I mean, they got their quarterback in a draft and their future quarterback.
And he made one of the greatest personnel decisions of all time by not going with that Matt Blunden guy that they signed for Green Bay.
Matt Flynn
guy that they signed for $40-something million. That guy never really played a down.
He allowed
a third round pick to beat him out. So I'll give Pete Carroll credit for that.
I was gonna bring that up too. Like, I think Pete Carroll made one of the most difficult personnel choices of the past decade by saying, hey, we're not going to take this guy who we brought in to be that guy. We drafted a dude I think's better. And, oh, by the way, he's going to turn out to be an MVP caliber type player. So I think if you're going to point out the warts of Pete Carroll over the past decade, though, you do also have to point out the fact that Andy Reid had two subpar seasons in Philadelphia and was fired in this decade as well. Pete Carroll hasn't suffered that fate.
You know, you're right about that. And that obviously is something on the other side of the ledger for Andy Reid. But you can also say he came in and took over the worst organization in the NFL that was 2-14, had everything go wrong in 2014 and then, or 2012 and then some, and came in and took a 2-14 team and made them 11-5 and a playoff team the following year, and has done something in Kansas City that hasn't been done in 50 years, and that's win that Super Bowl championship. I guys, can't get past the fact that Pete Carroll cost this team that second Super Bowl. Like, you let ego get in the way. They always say organization above oneself, and in that situation, Pete Carroll didn't do that, and he let his ego get in the way of letting Marshawn Lynch win that Super Bowl for him.
2009, by the way, the Seattle Seahawks were 5-11. Pete Carroll took over in 2010, and they were in the playoffs. They won their division, too. Now, granted, it was a crappy division, and they won with 7 games. But yeah, Still, they made a similar return to, I don't know if I'd say prominence that the
in
Chiefs
the last
did.
Decade,
but he at least was able to grab the reins and say, hey, we're not going to be a 4-12 or a 5-11 team and lose in the NFC West.
I can't discount him enough to put Andy on.
I think also, too, though, Andy Reid team knocked Peyton Manning out of football forever. I mean, like, you know, we saw that right with our own eyes. They ended Peyton Manning's career, you know, out there in Colorado with the way that they kind of rattled him, and they forced them to go with a backup quarterback.
And Joe Flacco's career, too.
And Joe Flacco's career. But I mean, like,
they
like
ruined
Andy
Matt
Reid,
Harvey, too.
Andy Reid had to beat Philip Rivers every year. He had to beat Peyton Manning for a while every year to get to the level of where they are. Who did Pete Carroll have to beat out in the AFC and the NFC West? The NFC West just started to get good over the last couple of years with the emergence of the Rams and the 49ers.
Sexline also aptly pointing out Andy had a couple of the big playoff blunders over the past decade as well. I mean, we did let it.
Yeah, that big loss against the Colts. Sure.
28-point lead evaporate in this decade.
You're right. No, I can't argue that one. But what I can argue and say is that the turnaround that we've seen here in Kansas City with Andy Reid has been nothing short of remarkable. Nothing short of remarkable. He's been unbelievable, and I think he's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
If you're going to hire Rex Ryan, you should know you're in for this, and I think ESPN is probably okay with being in for this. Rex Ryan, part of the Get Up show on ESPN, and he's not afraid to speak his mind on players he might not like, I don't know, Amari Cooper.
I wouldn't have paid this guy. To me, this is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. He doesn't show up on the road. He doesn't show up against, when the competition's good, when he's against the top corners, that guy disappears. And to me, he reminds me, it's only one time that I can remember in recent memory on elite receivers and disappearing acts like Amari Cooper. That was the kid that the Raiders had a few years ago. Oh, that's right. That was Amari Cooper. This is who he is. And Dan, he doesn't love football. Hell with it. He stops his routes. He does all this. I wouldn't have paid this turd. No way in hell.
All right.
No way in hell would I have paid this guy.
I thought all of it was fair except the turd part. I think the turd was where it.
Is that where we draw the line? Is calling someone a turd?
Well, I think it just became like super personal. Like you can break down somebody's game, and you can break down somebody's game that your opinion is that he doesn't play in those big moments, and he doesn't play against the big name corners. I think when you got to the name calling phase of it, and taking that shot was where it was too far.
It probably a little bit across the line, but still, I mean, I love the brutal honesty from Rex Ryan, and you mentioned he's on that Get Up show. What else do you remember from that show right now on ESPN? I mean, they got 27 people on there, and the only things people remember is him picking a fight with Baker Mayfield and calling Amari Cooper a turd. Other than that, what else has that show produced?
And then Rex then felt the need to apologize, or someone made him.
It's like
either way.
3 hours later.
Yeah, first off, I mean, I can't believe I said that, used that word. Obviously, it was a poor choice by me to say what I said about Amari, and anybody knows me. No, I mean, look, I'm quite honestly, I think the world of every player and have a great deal of respect for every single player in the National Football League, including Amari Cooper. Now, with that being said, I think the Cowboys overspent for Amari Cooper. And the reason for it is I don't doubt that this is an elite player. He has those traits. But an elite receiver to me shows up on the road. He shows up against great corners, and he shows up in crunch time. And those are three things that Amari Cooper has not done so far in his career. In fact, I think he's won one playoff game as a player. And all those things are how I feel about this young man as a receiver. But what I added at the end of that You know, I want to apologize to Amari again and hope he accepts my apology.
That's the compliment sandwich right there.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
I wouldn't be
respect every seat. No, you don't. It's fine. It's fine.
That being said, this guy's terrible.
What I meant my turd was.
And I mean all due respect. You're a turd.
Yeah.
The turd part was that he doesn't run routes well. I mean,
You know, I'm sorry for what I said, but on the other hand, look at the way that this guy plays. Have you seen this before?
What we pay Rex Ryan for? Like, isn't that what ESPN pays him money for? Is to call people turds and give his opinion?
Yes.
Why are you making him apologize? I don't understand it.
Because it probably got a little personal there that, you know, ESPN does have a contract with the National Football
League.
They clap
back. Come on now. Mari Cooper, talk about his foot fetish. Come on. Do something.
Right. There's plenty of Rex Ryan you can fire back with,
I wouldn't have paid this turd.
I mean, not as good as dancer as his brother was at the Super Bowl. But I think, in my opinion, when you're on ESPN and you've got that contract with the NFL, when you call somebody a turd like that, that's part of the league.
You can't do that.
There was a lot of backlash on Friday from players on Twitter. Like, even Tyron got involved a little bit. Like, come on, man. Like, you can't go there. That's one of those personal shots that we've all done. We've all been guilty of, myself more so than probably anybody. But at the end of the day, you got to be careful with what you say. It's not what you say. It's how you say it is what my mother always used to tell me. And if he didn't use the word turd, nobody would be talking about what Rex Ryan said, but he wouldn't be in hot water with a lot of players and maybe some league officials,
too. Yeah, I mean,
if
his breakdown of the player is fine.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine. The other part made it more newsworthy.
I just don't get it, man. Like, we pay you to describe him as a turd, but not call him a turd. Like, it's just,
right.
Correct.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have paid this turd.
I'm fine with it. Call him whatever you want.
I mean, it doesn't bother me that he said it, but I can understand why he's in hot water saying it.
Yes.
You know,
exactly. You were. It's phrasing.
Yeah,
it's always phrasing. This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. A little today in tourney history, there was one up and one down. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.